This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a lovely Monday here in Pittsburgh. The sun is shining.
It's middle of summer.
Birds are chirping. Yeah. It's summertime. The Steelers are off, parts unknown,
and
doing their thing until they come back for training camp in about 5 weeks. And we'll still be keeping you updated on everything that happens here in with the Steelers. And one of the things that happened last week, Matt, late in the week, was Trey Turner visited the Steelers on Friday. I know a lot of people get excited about these free agent visits. Malik Hooker was the week before that.
Been a couple of them.
Anytime you have a veteran guy who's coming off of injury type stuff, and they haven't signed yet at this point, you want to bring him in and kick the tires a little bit and see how, you know, hey, where are you at in your rehab process? How, you know, how healthy are you? How much do you want to play?
Exactly. And there's a pretty good group of players still out there that will end up being employed, probably 90% of them. The reasons they're unemployed are numerous. I mean, they could be they overvalued themselves when free agency hit the first time around. Their position, there wasn't a strong market for. Slot receivers, you know, it was a bad year for those guys. Weird year in general without much cap space to spend, and maybe most years they would have been picked up. But a high percentage of them, kind of you mentioned, are guys that are coming off injury that – even if it was a scope after the season or whatever, that's not much to me or you, but if I'm going to invest in this guy, you need to be sure of these things. Maybe you want your team doctors to check him out. So the Steelers, or it sounds like they're doing their due diligence on some guys that have either entered the league with some fanfare or have had success in this league. If you can add a good football player at any position, especially on the cheap at this point, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you just take a look at it. And you never know. You get, you know, couple days into training camp, or you know, you get to training camp and somebody's not, you know, 100%, or they got hurt.
Right,
all kinds of things
that
happen.
Emergency list for sure. I mean, you're going to call somebody, you know, services at some point here.
I know a lot of people looked at that and put two and two together and got six, because Trey Turner has been a right guard over the course of his career, and of course, you know, David DeCastro didn't practice it at the mini camp. Was only there for the first day. Mike Tomlin kind of said, no, he was, you know, all the guys who weren't here were excused. You know, I don't know what the Castro situation is. I made some calls and things of that nature and haven't heard anything back. But, I mean, he looked fine moving around.
Right.
It's just maybe a situation like, hey, Dave, you don't need to do this.
That's what I was thinking, too, is it just a situation if – Pouncey was here, would he not be here either? You know, like, we want the other guys to get reps. We're trying some new bodies there.
A whole bunch of new bodies, you know, on that offensive line, a bunch of young guys that, quite frankly, you need to get up to speed. We talked about it last week that they probably have nine NFL offensive linemen. Like, okay.
Howard and Haig.
Yeah, you got to get those guys up to speed.
Right. Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, I'm not speculating, but DeCastro, I don't think, was very healthy all of last year. I mean, could he have lingering things? Maybe. I don't know.
Wouldn't surprise me if he had an off-season surgery that, you know, because
doesn't
he
mean he's cooked, but I mean, who knows, you know. But again, at any position, if there's a quality target out there to add, and when's it a bad idea to add more offensive line help? You know, I mean, all the people that have been killing the Steelers for. They didn't use a pick in the first two rounds on O-line. Well, what if they had another one, you know? I mean, these didn't shake out. We didn't think Dotson was going to play last year.
To that point, I did a little research over the weekend into the Steelers' offensive line, because that seems to be the biggest
That's where people seem most concerned.
Yeah, especially nationally. Well, they got all these new guys on the offensive line, and it's, you know,
bottom five offensive line.
Okay, so 2019 – their offensive line, this is according to Football Outsiders, adjusted line yards ranking. They were 30th.
Okay.
2020, they were 32nd in adjusted offensive line yards.
I think that's a run stat.
It's a run stat. There's no doubt about it. But they averaged 3.78 yards per play last year, adjusted line stats.
Hmm.
That's their lowest since Football Outsiders began tracking that that statistic in 1996.
Wow, okay.
But, and this is a big but, in 2005, their adjusted offensive line ranking, that was supposed to be a great offensive line. They were 12th.
12th.
2008, when they went back to the Super Bowl again, they were 24th in adjusted offensive line. 2010, they were 19th.
Wow.
They weren't great run-blocking lines.
Yeah, right.
But those teams went to Super Bowls.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
If you look at the sack yardage.
Before we do, let's talk Ryan a little. We've talked about this a lot. I think the way they run the ball is changing this year as well.
Absolutely.
The guy there is running the ball is obviously changing dramatically for the better in that case. We'll see how the scheme stuff works out, but I'm very convinced that the ball carrier will be better. Interesting. And again, we do have a lot more new bodies up front than most years. You know, the continuity here has been crazy with the offensive line.
They averaged last season. On runs around left end, the Steelers averaged almost 4.45 yards per carry, which was 18th in the league.
Okay.
On runs around the right end.
You don't think of Al as much of a run blocker, but, you know.
On runs around the right end, they averaged 4.76 yards per carry, which was 14th best in the league. What those were a lot were the wide receiver sweeps and end arounds,
yeah.
The jet sweeps and things of that
They're
nature.
They're not all pitches to the outside,
right,
or whatever.
Because you got 64 yards rushing out of Ray McLeod on 4 attempts.
Okay.
One was a 58-yard.
These are all off tackle.
Yeah. Chase Claypool was used a lot at the goal line, so this kind of actually hurt the average. He had 10 carries for 16 yards, but he scored 2 touchdowns.
He would have kept running if the end zone didn't stop him.
Yes. Right.
You know.
And then Deontay Johnson had 3 carries for 15 yards.
Oh, okay.
So they got some production out of the wide receivers in that, mostly early in the season.
And I think that's going to go away.
That's going to go up.
It's going to go up. Yeah. It's not going to go away. They'll get better at it, and they'll do it more often.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I asked Matt Canada why they didn't do more of it last year. They did it early in the season and then kind of stopped. And
right.
He said, look, we're trying to do what we needed to do to win every week as opposed to, hey, let's just do
stuff
this.
Right. It's last year offseason was odd.
Yeah.
Interesting. My guess is between the tackles wasn't great.
Between the tackles was not great at all.
Yeah, I bet it was
flat out
bad.
But that's kind of a running back statistic as well.
Without question. And I think it's pretty clear Pouncey was at the end. And we mentioned DeCastro was not himself last year. Hopefully he gets to that point. Overall, I think the line's going to be better this year. I don't know about center.
I think it's going to be better run blocking.
I definitely think it'll be better
run
blocking.
I think what people are concerned with are the sack, you know, how much is Ben Roethlisberger going to be sacked?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at, so.
Because I think Ben needs to hold the ball a little longer, too.
A little bit
longer. Sacks are
definitely
a quarterback stat, too.
So in 2005, the Steelers were 22nd in adjusted sack rate. He was sacked 32 times that year.
Okay.
And they didn't throw the ball a whole lot that.
No, right.
2008, he was sacked 50 times.
Wow.
They were
29th. To, like, lead the league or close to it.
They were 29th in adjusted sack rate. In 2010, he was sacked 43 times. They were 29th in adjusted sack rate.
Hmm.
Are they going to somehow fall? Is he going to get sacked 50 times again this year? I don't believe so.
No, I would be shocked by that.
I would be surprised if he got sacked the 32 times he was sacked in 2005 because he's going to get rid of the football.
He's going to get rid of the ball.
He sees things so much better now than he did
when
he was 23 or 24 years old.
Better mental processor for sure. My counter would be he probably won't shrug off two defenders
and throw one across
the field, and you know.
I tweeted that out earlier today, a link with my story, and Mark Madden brought that point up. He said, "Well, he's not, you know, I'll take young Ben over old Ben."
I would too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you can't win with old Ben with what he's got above the neck now.
Right.
He's old Ben
play
is much
different.
Smarter than young Ben.
Absolutely, understanding where everything's coming from. I mean, I go back to Rivers a lot last year with Indy. Like at this time last year, you and I. I thought Rivers is cooked.
Rivers was not good in 2019.
No, not at all. And really threw a lot of picks. And we know he's not super mobile. He looked really cooked. And I was like, man, I don't think Indy's upgrading here. Or I don't think that's the answer. He played well enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was really good from above the head. You know, if you look at their running back receptions, like Jonathan Taylor wasn't much of a receiver. He caught like 35 balls. And Nyheim Hines caught a lot. And so if Ben can incorporate those type of things as well as understanding blitzes and protections and all those stuff that we know he can, that might be all you need. You know, yeah. I mean, so you just have to play differently.
They do have to play differently, and that leads me to you know, some of the things that Adrian Clem said this week. We know the offense is going to be different this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a big secret.
I thought this quote from Clem was really there's no doubt the Steelers want to be more physical up front.
It seems like every offensive lineman we talk to says we're coming off the ball more.
They
want to
be
physical.
Yeah.
We play more energy.
And there's not an offensive lineman in the league who wouldn't be more excited about that.
That's what they want to hear.
That's what they want to do.
Absolutely.
It gets real old catching these defensive linemen and linebackers coming at you play after play.
And 95% of the time, you're blocking someone smaller than you. You want to come and be the hammer, not the nail, you know?
So Clem said, he was asked about the physicality. He says, you can't stray away from it. You set the tone for what it's going to be, and you can create an environment in a room. Carry that out onto the football field. You're demanding of it every single day. It's not that we're trying to find ourselves. This is who we're going to be.
Okay.
If you're going to live in this world, that's how we're going to live. If you can't do it, you'll be at home or you'll be on the sideline with a hat on. It's not a democracy in our room. It is what it is.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're going to be physical.
I like the way he phrased it. Talk is cheap. I mean, we're sitting here in June. I mean, that doesn't mean you're going to move the Browns and Bengals and Ravens off the line of scrimmage. But I like that he takes the word the standard used a lot around here. But, I mean, we are going to be physical. If you're not on board, you're not going to be one of us. You know, you can go play for somebody else. Or you know. And I do think Green comes off the ball and shows physicality. We already know Dotson does. So I expect that to be very true.
Yeah.
I think their offseason moves have showed the style of players there, too. I mean, Banner gets off the ball and pounds people, too.
Yeah.
You know, right.
There are some people out there, well, you know, this move of Chukwuma Okorafor to left tackle, he wasn't very good at right tackle last season, so how's he going to play at left tackle? Is he going to be worse than Al?
I don't think so.
Al was not physical at all at this point in his career.
No, like, he was a lot of a catching, and, you know, he had a really good career here.
And I'm not shoveling dirt on Al.
No, right. I mean, he is what he is. I really think the guard pairing will be average at worst. I mean, I think there's a chance that that's going to be a pretty good group. Maybe not the best in the league or anything like that, but 8th, 10th, something like that. I think the tackle pairing will be better than last year's.
I agree. And again, it goes back to what we talk about a lot. Nobody is allowed to get better with some Steeler fans. Like, that was a core for his first year of starting in the NFL.
I didn't think he was bad either.
Yeah, I could pick just about any offensive lineman, look at his first year and say, boy, that wasn't very good, but his next year is going to be better.
Right.
He knows what to expect now.
I think a lot of people assume that feels like he's been here forever. Well, he hasn't played that many snaps, all in all, at the NFL level. I mean, in terms of...
He has 19 career starts.
There you go.
The second most on the offensive line outside of David DeCastro, of the guys who are penciled in to start right now.
It wouldn't shock me, and this isn't a reflection on a new coach or anything like that, but it's just in experience in general. There might be some communication errors and stuff like that, especially the first month or two of the season. I thought you had him, we had him, you know, or, you know, even how you talk to older offensive linemen, the nonverbal communication stuff, you know, we're going to block this nose for just long enough so I can get to the second level.
Right.
I mean, some of those things might need some kinks taken, you know, and Pouncey's leadership will be missed. Ben will make up for some of those things, especially in protection, you know.
Yeah.
You know, flat out yelling out for people.
So will a much better running back.
That's what I was about to say, too. I mean, a back that is willing and able to blitz pick up and not be a liability there, I think, will be very helpful. And a two-way tight end, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, if you're trying to establish that physicality, having a 230-pound running back is a good way to do that as well.
It is, without question. And just thinking about it, I mean, the Steelers were near the bottom of the league in 12 personnel, with back and two tight ends. So, in turn, they were sort of near the top of the league in 11 personnel with a back, Ebron.
Does that count
three receivers?
Here's a question I had about that because you've referenced that before. Does that count when they play six linemen?
Yes, I'd have to go double check that one because I pulled that off of Warren Sharp's has all that stuff on his.
Typically, they play that. I don't have.
They were a little lower last year in 6-0 line
because the sixth guy, the sixth guy was Gerald Hawkins, and he just wasn't.
They weren't as good there. I mean, it's different when it's Banner or
now your sixth guy is Dan Moore or it's Joe Haig.
I think those will go up too. I was actually kind of going to reference that too. Like I think we're going to see bigger on the line of scrimmage, in line wise / sixth offensive lineman more often. And you got to think about it. If they are. They're prompt like everybody. The snaps that they ran the most of were a back, Ebron, and three receivers. Well, it's really only five good blockers.
Yeah,
blocking 11. It's not quite 11.
I mean, Claypool and Smith-Schuster are good blockers for wide receivers, but they're still wide receivers.
They're still wide receivers, right? So I mean, your number count isn't great either for that. I mean, I think that's insert Freiermuth.
And that all goes into the running as well. I know everybody wants to blame it on the offensive line or the running back. But your secondary guys,
very important.
Your guys on the edges have to block too.
Right. I mean, look at Tennessee. They're a heavy run team, and their receivers are good
big guys.
Downfield blockers too. I mean, Henry doesn't spring 70-yarders entirely on his own. You know, at the second and third level, it's important to the Ravens. You know, I mean, some teams stress it more than others. And I do think the Steelers' wideouts are good blockers, especially the two you mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't know if Deontay.
James Washington's a pretty good blocker as well.
Yeah, good point. But Ebron isn't. So, just giving you another beefier package to use. And again, like you said, maybe it's Moore, maybe it's Haig is the sixth offensive lineman.
Give me somebody.
To be better than Hawkins. I mean, I know it's.
I mean, they've used B.J. Finney in that role in the past.
I mean, Hubbard wasn't a true tackle,
right.
Looked like a tight end type guy.
I mean, it's just getting that extra guy out there who's capable of putting somebody on his back if if need be. And a lot of times when you're out on the edge, it's a 250-pound guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think they'll have more options with their blockers, a better running back, better scheme. But there's hardships ahead. I mean, maybe DeCastro is done or Banner gets hurt again. You know, like it's not all going to be rosy.
No, it's not. But to you, something you always say is this is the time of year when everybody looks their best.
Yeah, it's eternal optimism season, right?
Yeah.
All the draft picks are going to hit. Anyone who's injured will be fine. Nobody gets old. We always talk about guys getting better. Well, people get old, too.
They do, and that's kind of what happened with the Steelers' offensive line.
Right.
Here's the thing. That line was ranked 32nd last year in adjusted line of scrimmage. Now, some of that was them, and some of that was the running backs. There's no doubt about that. It's almost to me like what happens with the Pirates from year to year. The Pirates stink.
Yeah.
They trade away two or three of their more popular players, or they leave, their contracts are up and they leave, and everybody goes crazy about it. They won 66 games with those guys. You can't bring those guys back again and expect things to change.
There's some common stories about coaches coming in. I think even Chuck Dole did some of this. You come in and say, I can win four games with or without you guys, even if you're our best.
Like, to bring those same guys back again this year would have been – you're just – what do you expect to change, especially at that point in their careers? Like, even Matt Filer's 29.
Yeah, true.
It's a
youth movement, and it'll maybe a little overdue one.
Right.
Because I remember – and apparently the Steelers agreed with me because you and I have been doing this for a while now. Before last year's draft, before the Claypool draft, you and I thought receiver and running backs were their top two picks, and they had to find a bud replacement. And we got a lot of feedback saying, do you think they can ignore the O-line? And I remember saying over and over at that point, I might regret this because you don't want to be a year late on the offensive line, but I would wait a year and I would not address it. And they didn't have a first-round pick. And maybe it bit me and them a little bit too. But they end up having a really good draft class. It's not like, boy, they shouldn't have taken Claypool. They should have taken some tackle.
Or should have taken Highsmith. I mean, those guys are all – Dotson.
And Dotson worked out.
Works out. So
– you can't just keep running back the same guys forever, though. And
the other part of the equation
– one more year than they should have.
Yeah. To me, though, they went 12-4.
But, oh, by the way,
we're not talking about a 4-12 team here. They went 12-4.
Yards per play were good. Plays per game. Time of possession. A lot of those things were pretty good for a lot of the year. So they had issues, there's no doubt.
I just think that
they're addressing them.
Yeah, they weren't capable, in my eyes, of adjusting from the offensive style that they were playing.
And you won't.
Because they couldn't run. I think teams figured out that they couldn't run the football.
Right. You know, probably by about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, those first five games of the year, first six games of the year, they were averaging 129 yards rushing mm-hmm. per game, and then they finished at 80 yards rushing per game.
That says everything.
I mean, they average 59 yards or 50 yards rushing a game the rest of the season.
For the rest of the season,
because everybody figured out, hey, we're gonna crowd the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger wants to get rid of the football quickly. He's having trouble connecting on the deep balls. Not throwing the deep balls, connecting on them.
We're not afraid of the deep ball anymore.
We're not afraid of it.
Right.
And we're not afraid of their running backs.
And we're going to hit these receivers right at the catch point. Don't allow after the catch. We're going to crowd the box. The other aspect, and I'm hard on James Conner because he's not reliable. That's a fact.
There was a huge difference, though, between him and the other guys.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is just the ball carrier. I mean, Conner may have some really good games for Arizona this year. I mean, will he put 16 or 17 together? I have my doubts. But I think he's a good football player and a good back.
He averaged 4.3 yards per carry. The rest of the backs averaged 3.3 yards per carry.
Yeah, that's a lot over a big
sample.
It's
a huge. It was a big number, too. Like, it wasn't like they had
test was clearly
15 carries. They had a large number of carries, as did he.
And it wasn't like he was breaking 80 yarders.
Right.
And, 0-0-80. I mean, he's a consistent producer. Gets more than what's blocked. McFarland was swimming. I think Snell's very pedestrian. He was clearly the top guy, and he passed the eyeball test. I mean, when he was right, it's like, give it to James. He's gonna get chunk yardage. And that it may even be a little optimistic to say Najee is better than James at James's best, but he's at least as good.
At least
as good.
Has shown to be more durable.
Yes.
And that's the big thing. I mean, the number
he's
one.
He's got more juice.
Yeah, the number one ability is availability.
Right, right. And Conner, that's why he
just didn't have it.
No.
Yeah. That's the one, you just can't. It can't be overlooked, at mm-hmm. that position. I thought that one of their biggest failures of last year was not having somebody capable of being the backup. I think that's why, Kalen Ballage is not a great NFL running back.
No.
But he is an NFL running back.
He is. And I think he got better. He started his career slow. But we even brought up the Carlos Hydes of the world. They could have used that guy last year. Everyone to give them a hard time for, you should spend $8 million on a backup quarterback. Well, they probably should have spent
$2 million on a backup running back. Would have gone a long way.
Yeah, I think it would have. Especially in the year before that as well. I mean, running backs were really poor then. So.
Yeah.
When Conner wasn't right over the last 2 years, which is way too common.
They just didn't have an answer.
They were the worst running back room in the league.
Yeah.
Lost the first round pick.
If that's better, if that running game is better because of the running backs, this offensive line, again, if it's 19th or 20th in adjusted line, offensive line play this year, that's a big, first of all, it's a big step up from where they've been the last 2 years.
Yes.
Secondly, that's into that range where they were at when they won Super Bowls.
Yeah. I think their skill position group will be much higher than 19th or 20th, running backs, tight ends, receivers. And if it does get to 19th, 20th, means you're trending the right direction with a new scheme and a new line coach, and youth is trending in the right direction. And I don't know that there's a million Pro Bowls in the future of these young guys, but I do believe that if you have 10 guys that can play and 5 that aren't bad in today's NFL, that goes a long way. I mean, again, it's better than having 2 studs and 3 duds.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll find Waldo every time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing. You can't have obvious bad offensive linemen mm-hmm. starting. You can't have 4 really good guys and 1 guy that's just ugh.
Yep.
Because they'll attack him like crazy. They'll line up guys to attack him like crazy.
Much different subject, but I've been looking at this over the last couple weeks too, or last week or so. The same is true in the secondary. Like, I'm not sure in today's NFL, with so many defensive backs that play 6, 7 at times, and they're not all pseudo linebackers and stuff.
Right.
It's like, Jalen Ramsey's wonderful, but he only covers 1 guy, and every offense has 5 dangerous ones now. I think secondary and O-line, star power isn't nearly as important as reliability.
Unless you get several stars.
Then you're great. Yeah. I'd love to have the Browns offensive line. I'd love to have 3 Pro Bowlers in the secondary, but you got to pay them. Like, they don't grow on trees. You got to draft them and pay them.
Yeah, it's all interesting. And, I think that, we'll see how this works out with the Steelers offensive line. But I feel better about it just because I think Najee Harris, adding Najee Harris, mm-hmm. elevates the play of the line.
I also think McFarland's going to be better,
yeah,
too.
I think the adjustment of the scheme mm-hmm. to a more – we've heard this a lot as well, that Matt Canada is going to – it's going to be more matchup-driven.
Okay.
Getting guys into positions where they can make plays.
Sure.
As opposed to – and this is something, you know, you've talked about for a long time, is the Steelers' offense for a very long time was, our guys are just better than your guys.
And it worked.
And it was fine because they were.
They had Lev Bell and Antonio yeah. Brown and, right, yeah. Juju's your third
Martavis
or fourth best
Bryant,
player.
When
right.
he was at his, you know, those guys.
Pretty freaky.
Those guys were better than anybody that lined up against
yeah.
them.
And their line was really good, too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so you didn't have to worry about that, you know, getting the right scheme fit and mm-hmm. matchups and stuff. You just ran what you ran, and they had to stop it.
Yep. I mean, even, you know, we talk a lot about the jet motion. If Claypool's screaming across in jet motion, that linebacker is bound to take a step to the right if Claypool's crossing his face before the snap. And that might be just enough for the guard to get to him and get a better blocking angle. Or, you know, the play goes the opposite direction and that linebacker can't quite get there. I mean, things like that will help a lot.
All of a sudden, here comes Harris screaming through the line with the football.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, and you're slightly out of position as a linebacker.
You're not going to, you know, arm tackle him to the ground.
Right.
You know, he's going to run through it.
Right. I think that's very much in the cards. And, again, I still think McFarland has a lot left. You know, his future isn't written. And Ballage gives you, I want to see more of him, but sort of a floor guy. You know, I mean, yeah. if he's my worst option, it's probably better than Snell. You know what I mean?
Or at least
better
than what they've had lately. He has the speed that Snell doesn't.
Yeah, he's more gifted.
Yeah,
he's big and fast.
Yeah,
and he catches the ball pretty well. I would imagine you agree. The pivotal guy is Green, though, on the line. I mean, if he's good,
right?
If he's
yeah.
the 15th best center in the league. From day one or quickly after, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah.
That position could be a problem.
It could be.
You know, Haas is out there.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
Haas, there's no way Haas is going to be out there.
I mean, if Finney gets hurt and yeah. Green's not ready.
It can't be Haas.
It
just can't be.
You're looking at the waiver wire then.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it's, you know, the potential is there. And I know,
yeah.
I know potential is a dirty word because sometimes
he's
guys,
a third round pick. What do yeah. you expect? No, he's pretty good. You know, he was what, the third or fourth center off the board. Could have been the second or third, but he's gonna have a tough acclimation period. It'd
yeah.
be a lot more worrisome if it was last year. You know, preseason and not as much camp. And but he's in the mix.
Well, he's definitely in the mix.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how that all works out. But I just thought the whole thing was very interesting when I looked up those numbers mm-hmm. to see where. Where those other good Steelers, I mean, we're not talking about good Steeler teams. We're talking about two of them won Super Bowls.
Right, right, right.
Those are great Steeler teams that
right.
won Super Bowls. And their offensive line play was just average.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think the schemes helped the line. I don't think the running backs helped the line lately. And I think age settled in a little bit here, you know,
yeah.
and it was time for a change.
It was
and
time.
They addressed it pretty hard.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Brecht here on site keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.